Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey everybody, welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, and I've been a successful roofing contractor and NRCA member for over 30 years, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned. You get more tips, strategies, and free downloads by going to my website at theroofershow.com. All right, I've got Kyle Hunt back on the show from last week. Kyle's a business coach and marketing expert for contractors in the remodeling space. And last week, we had part one of our turn more of your roofing leads into paying projects. And this show was packed with so much information. We wanted to come back on a second time and finish this up. So we've got some great stuff today, and this is part two. And if you didn't catch last week's show, you're going to want to go back and listen to that. But I introduced Kyle and his long list of accomplishments, but I think he would agree that the most exciting thing that he's ever done, the most fulfilling certainly, is that he is my business coach. And he helps me get my mind right, stay focused, and keeps my feet to the fire to accomplish the goals that I have set out in this new business that I'm starting. Because I know from my years of contracting that having a coach, having a consultant to see the forest through the trees, help guide you along, and keep you focused on what's important, it just cuts the time in half that it takes to become successful. And it made all the difference in the world in my roofing business. But last week, we talked all about the initial phone call, that first time that a prospect calls, that first touch that they have with your business, and how important that is to leave a great first impression. And that's where I want to just give a quick shout out to my sponsor, Ruby Receptionists, because that's what they do. They leave a great first impression. And that certainly doesn't happen when you're rolling over that call into voicemail, or maybe you got one of those crappy answering services. This is where Ruby comes in. They've got professional, friendly receptionists. It sounds just like they're in your office. They're professional. They're local. They sound great. And through the Ruby app on your cell phone, they can either forward calls to you, they can take messages and text it to you. It is just a huge time saver for you. You can focus on the things that make you money, like getting out there and selling roofs, like we've been talking about here the past couple of days. But go check them out at callruby.com/roofershow. And if it's right for you, you can use the promo code ROOFER50 and they'll knock off $50 off your first month's service. All right, well, let's get into our second interview with Kyle Hunt from Remodel Your Marketing. Kyle, thanks so much for coming back onto the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, as I mentioned in the introduction, Kyle is my business coach, and we just cut off a coaching call. We just did an hour over Zoom, and we were working on a new website for The Roofer Show and some coaching that I'm doing. So, Yoda, what do you think? How did it go?
Our meeting today was solid, was good, and it ended great. And I'll maybe explain that, where it gave, I think, any coaching, it gives you some clarity on where you're going. It gives you somebody to bounce, kind of an expert opinion, to bounce some ideas off of, to refine it, to give you clear direction. But the reason I said it ended great is because I made you set a specific deadline and goal for when you're going to have this big project that you're working on done by, which is so key to whether you're managing your team, whether you're working as a coach. Deadlines and just setting goals of when you're going to have something done is so important, because even when we put that out there, you were like, time out. I got a vacation coming up. And we moved it out another 15 days. you know, you started thinking, am I really, is that a realistic goal? Am I really going to be able to get it done in that time? And then once we set the actual date that we're going to have this done, now all of a sudden we can start working backwards from there and going, okay, we've got to have this step done, and it just makes it so much more real. So when I think of coaching and our call today, that's what pops out to me more than anything else is, boy, it's helpful to have outside opinion, outside guidance, and also somebody just hold us accountable. So I know you loved it when I pinned you down on that date.
Well, it's getting really hot in here, you holding my feet to the fire like that.
That's right.
But I don't know too many successful businessmen, businesswomen that don't have a little ADD. We were the ones in the growing up in the back of the class, kind of always bouncing around, thinking about other things, thinking about more creative things than math, maybe. But I know myself, and I've always had a business coach when I was contracting and now, because it's, I just know myself. It's, you know, I'm always looking at the bright, shiny objects. I have a hard time staying focused, working on one thing. I've got so many ideas coming into my mind, which I know is the way that a lot of entrepreneurs are. But like you said, it's great to have somebody that can step back, see the forest through the trees, and look at the important things and focus on those and keep me going forward, because I know that it's going to take me a lot longer to do this, to run my business, and it's holding me accountable, setting time frames, and you're going to get more done that way.
Yep, no doubt about it.
And as you said, start at the end and work backwards, or reverse engineer what it is that you're trying to accomplish, because you're right. I took a look at this date, and then when I thought it through, no, it's not going to work. Don't have enough time. We got to move that date out, because I know you're going to hold me accountable for that. So for all our listeners, if you don't have a business coach, get one. It's going to bring your A game on. All right. Well, Kyle, let's get into our second part of turn more of your leads into paying projects. And those that haven't caught the first week, go back and listen to that and then pick this up.
Sure. So, you know, going back to what we covered last week is this initial phone call we have with a new prospect. I see it in my coaching with remodelers and roofers, is that it is very underappreciated, undervalued. There is a lot that can happen and that should happen in this initial call. It is where we're making our first impression. It is where we are differentiating ourselves, what doing business with us is going to be like. It's our opportunity to qualify them, which is not a bad word. We need to protect our time. So we really dug into the before and the during and the after on this initial phone call. And I thought there were some good nuggets in there. So if that kind of whets your appetite and says, That's something that we haven't spent a lot of time doing training on or thinking about, or boy, I just pull out a blank sheet of paper instead of a project discovery sheet. Definitely go back and listen to last week's episode.
Yeah, a few takeaways that I got out of part one, that initial phone call, is how important making that first impression is, a good first impression, because it just separates you from your competition, because most people don't leave a good first impression. And then you talked about process and having a process for everything. You've got your project discovery sheet for that first phone call. You're not going to forget to ask the questions, the important questions that you need to ask, and get answers for them. And when you're making that initial call or any call, make sure you're focused and you're in the right frame of mind. If you're driving around in traffic, you're distracted, and that comes through on the phone. So make sure you get your game face on, because it comes through, and be focused and ready for that call.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's get into part two on turning more of your leads into paying projects.
Part two, we're kind of skipping a little bit into the process, a couple different areas. One is your sales pipeline. So anybody and everybody that you have as an opportunity to close new business with. We're going to be talking number two about tracking where your leads are coming from. Unless you have millions and millions of dollars to spend on your marketing advertising, it doesn't really matter if it's working or not. which frankly, even if you're spending that much money, you better be watching that too. But my phrase I like to use there is you need to hold every dollar that you spend on marketing or advertising accountable, meaning we need to make sure that we know if it's got a return on it. You know, what is the ROI for the money you're putting out there? And the third part, so sales pipeline, tracking where your leads are coming from, and third, the follow-up. We give up too soon with follow-up. So I want to talk about that and some strategy and some encouragement in that area.
Yeah, the follow-up is huge. And this is where a lot of contractors fall down. They make that initial presentation, and you're only going to have about 3 out of 10 prospects that are actually going to buy either on the spot or in the next week. The majority, say 7 out of 10, these guys are going to wait. They're going to think about it. Maybe they're waiting for a tax refund. Who knows? Something else. But they're not going to buy right away. And you've got to stay on top of those guys because that's where the majority of your business will come from and how you're going to improve your close rate. But they're too quick to jump to the new deal. They want the fresh meat. They want to pay more money to get out there and get fresh new leads rather than focusing on the ones that you've already spent the money on to put quotes out.
Yes, I mean, several reasons. One, yes, they like the fresh meat. Two, you're busy. I'm empathetic to the fact that you're super busy and we've got a lot of stuff going on. But like you said, there's 1,000 different excuses. I had to pay my taxes this month, or it ended up being a little bit more than I thought, you know, or hey, call me back in the spring, or we decided to hold off. You know, my car broke down, the HVAC went out. You know, like we actually ended up needing to do a kid's activity. I need to cancel our follow-up meeting. There's just a million different excuses. And I think a lot of times we end up thinking, well, they didn't call me back after I called them twice, so they must not be interested, or, you know, whatever the case might be. And like I said just a minute ago, we give up too soon. That doesn't mean we're going to be obnoxious with it. That doesn't mean that we're going to call them until we get a no, you know, over and over and over again. We're going to be respectful. We're not going to be high pressure. We're going to be, you know, professional, but we also aren't going to give up after, you know, one or two quick tries. This is a topic that I'm very passionate about. All I've been doing for the last, you know, over the last decade is coaching contractors and remodelers. And this is an area that, as far as bang for the buck, if you can really take seriously organizing your sales pipeline, tracking where your leads are coming from, how you're doing your follow-up and improve that, there's so much benefit to doing that. You were hinting at it. We get so excited about new leads. What about increasing your closing rate 3-5% on the leads you already have? Do the math on that. It's amazing, right? But we're so focused on what's new, what's exciting. What do I get excited in about the done proposal for, haven't signed bucket? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about what we can do to be creative with following up with those folks to build more know, like, and trust and convert a handful of those into paying projects.
All right. Well, let's talk about how we're going to do that.
Yeah. So, you know, even just talking, maybe start by defining our sales pipeline. You know, what do we mean by that? You know, to me, there's each pipeline and the way you describe it, everybody describes it might be a little bit different, but your pipeline should have people that have reached out that you still need to set an appointment for. There's the, you know, set appointment for, and it's kind of upcoming. There's a group of people in that. There's a done the in-person meeting working on proposal. There is the done proposal for, haven't signed. There's the jobs in progress, meaning they've signed with us, but the job isn't done. And then there's completed jobs. So that, I mean, that description of that pipeline, appointment to be set, you know, working appointment done, working on proposal, done proposal or haven't signed, job in progress, completed jobs. That's probably pretty close to everybody listening to it, your sales pipeline. So even writing that out and organizing that and getting clear with what, how you define what you call the different stages in your sales pipeline is a big deal. A lot of times we're very murky with that, but the reality is every single lead that you're talking to is in one of those areas of the pipeline, one of those stages. So that could be a key takeaway from what you're hearing even thus far is, do you have your sales pipeline
organized. I mean, your question before I went into that little area was, how do we convert more of our leads into paying projects? How do we improve our closing percentage? And where I'm starting with is, let's get organized first. That, frankly, even that will help increase our closing percentage. If your sales pipeline is a giant stack of folders that have no differentiation between them, then you're not going to follow up well. But if I can go into your office, and it doesn't, we'll talk about CRM systems, we'll talk about fancy this, fancy that. You know what my biggest client does? Has a big fat whiteboard. And you walk into his office, and I can tell you exactly where every single job and lead is in that pipeline. Here's my biggest client who could afford, you know, any of his, any CRM system, whatnot. It works for them. So it doesn't necessarily have to, it can be. A lot of my clients use solid, good, impressive CRM systems, and it can be very helpful, especially when you have a lot of salespeople. But let's just get the fundamental right. If you can quickly and easily tell me whether it's in your CRM system, whether it's in an Excel spreadsheet, whether it's on a whiteboard, you can tell me how many and who is in your done proposal for, haven't signed bucket. Now you're getting somewhere. Because if you can quickly say, I've got 12 people in there, here's who they are, and you can tell me what I call the latest and greatest. You know, what's the latest and greatest about these people? Well, we're waiting to hear back from them. Or what's the latest and greatest? I'm working on a revised proposal for them. Or latest and greatest, I called them on Tuesday. If you're able to just quickly identify who's in each stage, it makes follow-up so much easier. It's when we have that stack of folders, or when we have an out-of-date spreadsheet, or when we're not putting things in our CRM system, that makes follow-up so much more difficult, because we're not clear with who we need to follow up with. So the time, the precious limited time that we have to follow up, half that time, if not more, is spent just trying to figure out who to follow up with. So organizing your sales pipeline, such a critical part of this.
Yeah, you've got to be organized, because this is really the biggest thing that holds companies back from growing. Without having this organized pipeline, without being efficient, without having this process, knowing who you want to follow up with, you're dead in the water. And we've had some great interviews in the past, and I just want to throw these out, about CRM programs, getting organized. And I want to start with Adam Sand. He's a contractor and a marketing guy up in Canada. But in episode number 102, we talked about, in general, CRM programs. And he brought up the point of if you're starting off, he had a great pen and paper way to do this. And it's really pretty clever. So everybody should go back and check that out. And we talked about the right CRM for your company. Each of the programs are a little different, but you want to make sure that you do this slowly, in making a mistake on getting the wrong one for the type of business that you have. Can be very expensive. But check out episode number 58. We had AccuLinks on. That's a great program. A lot of contractors use it, a lot of roofing contractors. And in episode number 29, we spoke about Job Nimbus, and which is another great program specifically for roofing contractors. So take a look at those. But the big thing is, just get going. Start simple, but start consistent. You've got to get those potential customers organized in a simple way that you can stay on top of them.
Yep, no doubt about it. You know, some questions I like to ask, or that you can kind of ask yourself, is what is your closing percentage? You know, sometimes we have this goal of increasing our closing percentage. Are we actually tracking it? You know, if you're organized, you'd be able to say, you know, here's my top five active prospects. You know, if you're organized, and when I ask you a question like, how many leads did you generate last year, and where did those leads exactly come from, you're organized enough where you'd be able to pull that up. You know, asking a question like, are there any prospects you need to follow up with today? And you're able to pull up that information and say, yep, I am due to follow up with so-and-so and so-and-so today. However, and that's, I just emphasize that so much. I don't care how you organize it. It could be old school. It could be new school. It could be simple. It could be, you know, a little fancier. The bottom line is, this is an area of your roofing business, your construction business, that you've got to take seriously. And if you're not good with these details, you know, maybe there's a office manager, maybe there's somebody on your team that can really take the lead and get this organized. But I can't emphasize it enough how important it is to have this locked and loaded.
On this show, I'm always talking about knowing your numbers and how important it is. Because if you don't know, starting off with, say, average job size, what's the average job size that you're doing? And then knowing what your close rate is. Let's say it's 1 out of 4, 1 out of 3. You know how many sales that's going to be. You need to know how many leads you're going to need or how many proposals you're going to put out, because that's going to determine how many you've got to put out to hit that sales target with the average job size. Then we've got to know how many leads we're going to need to get in front of those people, knowing how many you're going to close. So you've got to know those numbers. It's really just simple math once you have this thing down. Also, when it comes to marketing, we're talking about where did those leads come from. Without having that information, you have no idea where to spend your money, what's working, what's not. Also, without these numbers, something that I see a lot is if you're only closing, say, 1 out of 5 of these deals, and you've got to know this. It's surprising how many contractors don't know their close rate. But if you're selling 1 out of 5, that's too low. You've got a problem. One, you may be identifying the wrong people. You are not presenting to people that appreciate the value that you have, or the right type of customer. You're wasting your time. Or maybe it's a sales problem. Maybe you need to have some sales training for your guys because they're not making good presentations. Without knowing those numbers, you have no idea how to make adjustments. If you're selling 3 out of 4 deals, you know that you've got to raise your prices. You're too cheap. You've got to know this to run a successful business. That is the bottom line. Know your numbers.
And this is where, like, the rubber hits the road sometimes, is we get excited about the new shiny marketing thing to work on, or we read an article and get all excited about this new part of the business. But, you know, an analogy I like to use is, you know, organizing your sales pipeline or tracking where your leads are coming from, you know, and getting the system set up for that is some on the business time, right? We've got in the business, doing the work, and then on the business time. And what we don't realize as business leaders is out of 100% of our time that we're working in the business, just working on the business, either one, probably 90% of that time is spent in the business. So it could be related to doing the sales work, of doing the production, of ordering the materials, of working with the scheduling, of dealing with the billing, right? 90% of our time is spent in the business. And probably if we're doing it well, 10%, if not a little bit more, is spent on the business. Frankly, listening to this podcast right now, if you're focused on this podcast and you're trying to improve your business, that's on the business time. And a lot of times what we end up doing is we splinter that 10% amongst like 10 different things. 10 different things. So we kind of get some done. We kind of get some done, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, versus saying, okay, I have a limited amount of my time to work on the business. During this month, during the month of July, what I'm going to do is focus on the process that I have related to managing my sales pipeline. And I'm only going to focus on that. That's a coaching idea, right? That's a coaching idea. That's a focus idea. So as you're listening to this, I think sometimes we work on things that just don't deliver nearly the return on investment that working on our sales pipeline would. So I want to kind of position that as a priority. If your sales pipeline is super disorganized and you don't have a solid process in place, please stop worrying about creating that fancy video for your marketing. Please stop worrying about your next Facebook or Instagram post. Focus on this. It's 10 to 1 as far as ROI goes.
What I hear all the time is, you know, I just need more leads. If I only had more leads, everything would be great. That's not how you want to look at it. You've got to pay a lot of money to get those leads. When you've already made presentations, you've already spent the money to get the lead, it's sitting out there. If you can increase your close rate, that means you don't have to make as many presentations. You don't need to pay for as many leads. And that means fewer presentations means you're going to have more free time to work on your business, go fishing, do whatever it is that you need. But these are the numbers that you need to look at, and you need to understand them. You may need, as I say, better sales training. But without knowing these numbers, you have no idea where to put your efforts.
Yeah, I call that the, kind of the analogy of that. If you're thinking, I just need more leads, that's what's going to fix it. It's similar to somebody saying, and sometimes there's truth to that. But a lot of times that's hacking at the leaves instead of striking at the root. A lot of times you're thinking, oh, I just need more leads, then I'll be fine. Maybe. But a lot of times if you struck at the root problem, which is you're not selling well, you're not converting well, you're not differentiating yourself, fixing the root problem can a lot of times solve the thing that we thought was the root problem, but really was just hacking at the leaves. You know, what's interesting about that, we're talking about coaching, that analogy, I use it all the time. I think about it all the time for myself, for my clients. You know where I got that originally? The first business coach I hired, a guy named Dov Gordon. He's over in Israel, as a matter of fact, and he has that phrase, and I learned that phrase. So I think it's interesting that I'm using a phrase that's impacted me and my business and, frankly, my clients in a big way, and it ties back to me having my original business coach.
Preach it, Kyle. I love that passion.
Yeah, so that the first batch there, that you know, I'm okay with calling it a rant. Hopefully what you heard there was kind of a passionate rant. There were some specifics that we need to talk about of how to set up the pipeline. But hopefully your biggest takeaway from that first part is, crap, I got to get this organized, my sales pipeline. The second thing is tracking where your leads are coming from. And I have just a few thoughts related to that. Boy, if we are generating leads and we are not asking and tracking and able to report on where those leads are coming from, we've got to fix that. Our advertising dollars, our marketing dollars are precious. We want to make sure that we're spending that money, investing that money in ways that have a good return on investment. I have a lot of my clients over the years reach out to me or through our coaching calls and say, hey, Kyle, what do you think about Angie's List? Hey, what do you think about Yelp? What do you think about me renewing this print publication advertising, this local neighborhood publication? I got to sign up for 24 months, but we've been doing it for the last 2 years. Or, you know, what about house advertising? What about fill in the blank? And every time my first response is, well, You've been tracking where your leads are coming from. How has it worked for you since you started doing it? And so often it's kind of like, well, we haven't been tracking it very closely, or, well, my gut tells me, or, you know, we're relying on our gut and our feelings, or maybe it's been working pitifully all year, but you did just sign, your last lead came from that source, so you're kind of, the stock is high on that lead source. We, of course, our gut is important and our experience and expertise is important, but we manage our business so much better. We make better business, and in this case, marketing decisions, when we have the data. So we need to be asking every lead that comes through our doors how they heard about us. We need to get specific with that. You know, if there's some ways to follow up when they say, well, I found you online, make sure you ask that second question of, oh, were you searching through Google, or how did you come across our name? Asking that, training your team and training yourself to ask that next question. And then when we get that information, when we get that data, make sure we... It could be a simple tally sheet. Again, I'm not fancy. It doesn't have to be fancy. It could be a simple tally sheet. It could be a spreadsheet where we keep track of this, or it could be every time we enter that lead, a lead into our CRM system, we are making sure that we're tracking how they found us. I have one client that I've been working with for a while. I don't work with a lot of plumbing companies, but this was a referral from an old client of mine, and we've been tracking where their leads are coming from. And in their CRM system, they have to enter something. So there's a lot of don't know, didn't ask. That's literally a category in there. And once you know it, since we've been tracking that and we kind of said, hey, we had 42 don't know, didn't ask this month. Let's see if we can knock that down next month. Once you know it, now that we're watching it, now that we're paying attention to it, now that we're measuring and tracking it, there's so many fewer of those. They're asking it more often because they know that we're tracking it and it's important and we're explaining why it's important. So, I mean, that's my biggest thing on that second item here, which is tracking where your leads are coming from. It's important. It helps us make better business decisions. It helps us know where we need to invest our precious marketing and advertising dollars, and we need to make that part of our process every time.
We keep beating on the process, but it is so important. It's like that sheet that you have that you talk about on that initial phone call.
Yep. Project Discovery Sheet, we called it.
All right. So maybe a little recap of what we've covered so far.
So number one, your sales pipeline. Number two, tracking where your leads are coming from. And number three is follow-up. And on my notes here that I'm looking at, I even put an exclamation mark at the end of follow-up. I must be thinking this is really important, because it is. It is. We touched on it earlier, of the number of reasons, number of excuses, number of legit reasons or crummy excuses, whatever we hear, of what homeowners or what business people or commercial projects, whatever you're working on, have to say of, man, why this project isn't happening now. Man, when it comes to follow-up, what do I have to say about this? It's mostly, I think part of it is it's kind of equal parts organization, equal parts creativity, equal parts just being tenacious about it. Again, nothing that I teach, nothing that I would advise to teach is to be pushy at all. I like to sell the way I like to be sold. Let me say that again, because it's a line that really means a lot to me, and especially when we're talking about follow-up. I like to sell the way I like to be sold. If I feel any kind of pressure from somebody, oh, does it turn me off? I hate it with a passion. But do I mind professional follow-up? Absolutely not. Do I mind when somebody says, you know, okay, cool, you're going to be thinking about it. Would it be okay if I give you a call back in 2 weeks? Do I mind that at all? No, not at all. Do I mind if they have my cell phone and they shoot me a quick text message and say, hey, I'm just checking in? I don't mind that at all. Frankly, I prefer that. If somebody wants to get a hold of me, I'm busy during the day. I'm doing calls, back to back a lot of times. So if you want to get a hold of me, frankly, text messages is better. So yeah. So I like to sell the way I like to be sold. I like to follow up the way I like people to follow up with me. So think about that for yourself, because I think it probably would ring true for you as well. We crave somebody that's going to teach us, that's going to explain the process to us, that's going to follow up maybe with some more education. Another phrase that I think is helpful to maybe wrap our head around here is, and I've challenged myself with this, I've challenged my clients with this. How can we follow up without using the words follow up? You started laughing before I even got that out. You knew where I was going with that, right?
Anything but follow up or just checking in. What are you checking in for? Checking into what?
Just following up. And that's not to say, oh, I'm just checking in. I think there is a time and a place to do that, right? Of just flat out like, hey, quick little check in. But the thought there is not necessarily to get creative with the words. The thought there is, how can I follow up with something of value? You have been talking to these prospects. Maybe job site cleanliness is huge for them. Maybe the quality of the materials is huge for them. Maybe the process is huge for them. We do not share, you know, those are things that you talked about maybe on the initial phone call, at the presentation, the in-person meeting. There's a lot of opportunities to send them some of that information. Again, maybe you do have some great videos from your primary supplier. Maybe you do have some videos or some photos that you've taken. Maybe you have a little blog post on about a certain thing. Sharing that can be something of value. It's actually super interesting to me. A lot of times when I send out pretty consistent emails to my list, and a lot of times I'll get a response to one of those just emails that I sent to my full list more often from a prospect that's getting back to me more often than I do when I send a one-on-one email or follow-up to that person. I think that's interesting. So we can follow up in so many different ways without necessarily just saying follow up. So the challenge there is, how can you follow up with something of value to that prospect?
Something that I see is just fear to make that call. And it takes a lot of contacts. People are busy. I don't think you're bugging them if you do it correctly. And I like what you're talking about is different ways that you can do it. But I do see that fear, and you got to get past that. You're helping your prospects.
Yeah, I would say yes, yes. There's definitely that fear. And if you have that, maybe it's also telling you that, look, I am bugging them at this time. How can I change this around? I think this is different advice maybe than what other sales coaches or trainers might say. But one of the phrases that is actually a Gary Vee phrase is, don't be romantic about what has worked in the past. you know, basically meaning just because you've done in the past does not necessarily mean you should continue to do it indefinitely. Literally, if you want to sell Kyle Hunt, I don't care what you're selling me as I'm going through and purchasing things through life. If you want to follow up with me, you're going to have a much better chance of getting consistent follow up or response or next steps if you text me. Now, but Kyle, we've got to call them. Do we? Because our culture is changing very rapidly. My dad sent me a poop emoji last week. My 70-year-old dad has a smartphone and is sending me a poop emoji. My mother-in-law, who said 8 years ago, oh, I'm never going to get on Facebook, absolutely loves it, right? There's things that are changing in our culture. You're selling to a new generation of people that are in their 20s, 30s, 40s. The previous 50-year-old from 10 years ago, that person is so much more adept at using technology than before, right? So follow up, there's a program called Loom, L-O-O-M. You can click a button and they can see your face and you can be showing your screen. You could follow up and say, hey, this is Kyle here. I wanted to pull up the proposal I sent you, and I wanted to also show you a couple of the different designs that we were still kind of debating about these shingles. And I just wanted to show you this, couple pros and cons related to it. Just wanted to shoot you this quick note. Hope you're doing well. Look forward to talking to you soon. Click a button. I have a link that I can send to them. I can copy that link and send them via text or via email. So we get stuck. I think a lot of times what you were getting at is like the fear of just making another call. Yes, there's some of that, and sometimes you just got to push through it and make calls happen. But I think part of that also might be you got to test and try new things. You got to shoot a quick text message. You got to maybe try a Loom video. If you're connected with them on Facebook or LinkedIn, send them a message that way. There's not one way. This should be kind of a Swiss Army knife of following up. You can snail mail them something. You know, maybe there's a good brochure that you didn't get to them, or a good case study that you could send over to them. Maybe you saw their name in the paper and you just saw an article about them and you said, hey, way to go. Congratulations on this. There's a lot of different ways to do it. Be creative with it. And don't get stuck in a rut of saying, well, the best chance of me following up with them is to follow up via phone. That's a recipe for failure, especially in this day and age.
Well, Kyle, I know you've got another coaching call to jump on out there spreading the word. So let's get this thing wrapped up.
There you go. A couple closing thoughts. So just a reminder of what we covered here. Three things: your sales pipeline, tracking where your leads are coming from, and follow up. Now, Dave, if they listen to what we did in the first time around, I said, all right, I love takeaways. My biggest reason for doing this, my biggest thing in all of my coaching, all of my training that I do, is to try to get you to take action and implement. I would absolutely love it if you shot me a text message, talking about text messaging, send me a text to 517-902-8450 and say, Kyle, here's the takeaway that I'm going to implement. I would love that. Two more things. One, here's a 10-word email. So talk about follow up. We didn't really talk about email, but especially if you have somebody that's kind of dead, you know, it's kind of a dead lead. I'm ready to kind of kick this person to the curb. Here's a 10-word email. Are you still looking to re-roof your home in city name? Are you still looking to re-roof, or put whatever word is appropriate there, to remodel your home in Brighton? ? That's the subject line. And the body of the email just says, let me know. Thanks. No more than that. No more. Well, if you are, it's a very, very short, simple. It's expecting a reply and it works well. So there's one little very tactical approach. Are you still looking to remodel your home in city name? Let me know. That can be a nice email follow-up to what you might consider like a quote-unquote dead lead. Get some good responses. And yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing I would leave with is I do have a private Facebook group, remodelerscommunity.com. I have a podcast, remodelersontherise.com is where you can find it, or just search Remodelers on the Rise. But my biggest thing is if you got any value from this, you can just make me super happy. You can make Dave super happy by just taking action. Take action. Stop overthinking it. Take action and implement.
Yeah, that's great stuff. Hey, Kyle, can you give us your website again, please?
Yep, remodelyourmarketing.com.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on again, Kyle. I really appreciate it. And I guess we'll see you next week in our mastermind group.
Thank you. And don't forget that deadline we set for that project, sir.
holding my feet to the fire.
All right.
Well, that's it for the show today. I really appreciate everybody listening. And hopefully the takeaway that you got from these shows, these last two shows, are take action. Make something happen and be consistent. Just start with the small things, but do them every time. It really makes a difference. So until next week, we will catch you on the Roofer Show.